Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 and verse 1. It's going to be on your screen for your convenience, but it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. When we preach this message, I always like to talk about the anointing of God. But today I want to talk about something a little bit different that is going to, I think we're going to look at this in a different way. Perhaps you may have never heard this message preached this way, but I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will just unveil his secrets within and help us to grow. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, and he said, Go. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Verse 4 says, So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as they were felling a beam or cutting down wood, the axe head, everybody say axe head, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place he cut down. Now notice what happens here. The man of God, Elisha, cuts down a stick and he cast it into the river, into the water. And the iron, look what happens, the iron did swim. What a miracle. Therefore, said he said, take it up to thee. In other words, reach down and get this axe head. And he put out his hand and he took it. That is an incredible, incredible miracle. I want to talk to you today something that's kind of a play on words. And it's simply entitled, Getting Your Axe Together. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor. Get your acts together. Tell your other neighbor, say, hey, neighbor, get your acts together. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's ask God's blessings. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for this privilege that we have to be in your house. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We ask that this word will go forth in power and in demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, as you're keeping me steady behind this pulpit today, I pray, Father, that this word would become so steady in our hearts, so stable, to help us to build a healthy foundation on. And so have your way. Let this word do exactly what you want it to do for Gospel Lighthouse Church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I like this story. If you recall anything about the prophet Elisha, Elisha is the successor of Elijah. And one of the things that Elisha desired was to have the same type of anointing that Elijah had. Elijah was a man of God in the midst of a very adulterous and wicked generation, not unlike our generation that we are in, but he faced so much adversity. Elijah, the prophet, faced spirits of Baal. He faced all types of demonic activity, all types of wickedness. And Elisha must have saw something inside of Elijah. He must have saw something. Hey, I like what this man of God has. Maybe it wasn't just the miracles that Elijah was able to perform, but maybe it was something a little more deeper than that. And as they were walking together, Elisha just desired a double portion of Elijah's anointing. I would say I would like a double portion. How about you? I mean, I love to go to once in a while, we haven't done it in a while, but we do these potlucks, or sometimes we call them linger longers, and we have these dinners, these church dinners. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy the fellowship, but you know, there's always somebody that wants a double portion, right? You know, and they're always ahead of you. I remember, I'm not going to go into that, but I just know how church people are, right? But one of the things I really truly desire, and Brother Vernon had no idea that I was even praying about this, was a anointing on my life. A true, true, mighty anointing on my life. Because I realized that Without the anointing, all it is just, you know, entertainment, so to speak. It's just activity. It is what it's the anointing that really makes the difference. The Bible tells us it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And so that's my desire. I want the anointing of God. So yeah, you could say that I'm Elisha and I'm hungry for the double portion of God's, that what God has for me. And it's going to cost us something, isn't it? If we truly desire. I look at this story and I see a lesson. And the lesson that within this story is not necessarily the miracle of this iron axe head. This iron axe head. And of course, this is a hatchet, but I didn't want to carry a big old axe with me today. I didn't see it was meaningful. But the lesson is not so much this miracle of the iron axe head swimming to the top of this river. But this is what the true, if we'll look at it from and observe it from a true, get some principles out of this and say, I want to gather what you're really trying to speak to us about. This is what this lesson is about. It's about moving forward through a setback. I know there are people in this room that you have had setbacks in your life. You've had setbacks financially. You've had setbacks in your marriage. You've had setbacks in your children. You've had setbacks in so many areas. Maybe perhaps in your health. I can say that there's been setbacks in my life and in a lot of those categories. And that's what this story is about. It's about moving forward. You are willing to go and build. You're willing to go improve your life. You're willing to do something great for God. And all of a sudden, that vehicle that you're using, that whatever you're trusting in or trusting on, becomes removed, becomes injured, becomes wounded. And so there's some important features then about this story. First of all, we see Elisha and his student prophets. What are they doing? They're building a new school. Nothing wrong with building a new school. Gospel Lighthouse at one time was Lighthouse Academy, was a school. We still have people that call and reach out and email and say, hey, I need some information. I graduated school here. And so we at one time had a school. Elisha and his students were going to build a new school. The second thing we see, an important feature, is Elisha and his students are building not only a new school, but its location. Look at your neighbor and tell them, location, location, location. I'm not a realtor, but that's what they say. Isn't that right, Linda Wallen? How important location is. They're building beside the Jordan River near Jericho. Two places. Jericho is not what you would think. Jericho wasn't this holy city, as some people think. Jericho, at one time, was fortified with great, massive walls. It was a wicked city. It hated the outsiders, so it did this, all they could do to keep people out. They didn't. Have you ever lived that way? You just want to build walls and you want to keep people out? Kind of like where our nation is at right now. Jericho was also by this river Jordan. Jordan is not your beautiful, clear, crystal spring river. Jordan was a very filthy, a very dirty river. And where they were building this river was a very deep place. But the good thing about this location was there were plenty of timber. There was plenty of building. Are you hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now? Plenty of building material. I think that's what God is speaking to us right now, Gospel Lighthouse Church. God has put us a location, location, location. And yeah, with at a very, what we would say, filthy part of the city. But there's plenty of building material. People are our greatest investment. The third thing that we see here is due to their poverty, the demand for job site resources was very extreme. In other words, they couldn't just run to Lowe's or run to Home Depot and just get what they needed. Use your Lowe's account and just sign your name on it and get what you needed to get to repair or to fix the problem. It wasn't like that. So what is this story then about? What is this miraculous story of floating axe head? Why is it so important to us, important to you? This is what I believe. It's because God is concerned about all aspects of our lives. And though our needs may seem trivial or insignificant, God is still concerned. I want you to believe that today. The miracle of the axe floating, the axe head floating is a reminder that when you and I, when we set out to build the kingdom of God, there will always be incredible miracles along the way. I have a friend that is, and I know Linda Waller knows this gentleman. I have a friend who's a pastor, and he's building a multi-million-dollar new sanctuary. And it's amazing that he'll get up on Sunday mornings and he's always saying, hey, we're at this point and we need this much. And then the next Sunday or the next service, he says, you will not believe, somebody sent an envelope of $25,000. Somebody gave $100,000. I was talking with Bishop Bob McGee, and Pastor Carl was there that evening when we were at camp with Caleb. And he just was telling me how the church ground, the campgrounds that the church is in control of, the organization is in control of, how money was just coming out of nowhere. And he was telling me miracle after miracle how pastors were calling and say, you won't believe this, but somebody donated $250,000. You know, God has no respect of persons. And I believe that God can do that for Gospel Lighthouse Church, and I believe that He will do that for Gospel Lighthouse Church. So the miracle is a reminder that God is going to provide miracles along the way. Yoke-destroying miracles. Yoke-destroying miracles are not the result of the ability of man. So don't look to me for your yoke-destroying miracles. Don't look to Pastor Carl. Don't look to Pastor Crystal. Don't look to a human on planet Earth for your yoke-destroying miracle. Yoke-destroying miracles are not the result of the ability of man, but yoke-destroying miracles are the result of man's availability to God. If you will make yourself available to God, God will make it able for you. I love what Brother Vernon said years ago as a youth pastor here, and one of his slogans he used to say to our board meetings and used to say to our gentlemen and our pastoral staff, Brother Vernon would always say that, hey, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And I truly believe that. We're looking at, and some of you are so locked into this economy. Some of you are so locked into the tariffs. Oh no, egg prices are so expensive, right? I mean, you got to take insurance out if you drop an egg and crack it, right? I mean, it's just, and some of you are so locked in on the economy when you need to adjust your perspective and say, look, I'm not serving the world's economy. I'm not serving Trump's economy or Biden's economy. I'm serving Jesus Christ. He says He shall supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Serving a God economy, and I'm thankful for that. So getting our acts together, look at your neighbor again and say, hey, I got to get my acts together. It's more about the process, right, than the progress. And I think a lot of you today, that's what you're stuck at. That's why our acts is not together. Is because we think, we look, and we say, well, there's not any progress. Well, we're not all, it's not always about the results. It's not always about the low-hanging fruit. It's not always about the quick fix. It's about the process to get there. And process is so much more important. Progress is about achieving. Process is about surrendering. Progress is about accumulation. But you know, process, it's about distribution. Progress is about finality. I'm there, I've arrived. But no, process is about continuity. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 5. It said, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And this gentleman cried and said, Master, Master, oh no, this axe head, this axe that I have, everything about the whole component, it was borrowed. It's not mine. What are we going to do? Have you ever borrowed something from somebody and you broke it? And you ruined it? What did you say? How did you get away with it? Did you just slide it back under the door and say, oh, I don't know anything about it. It was like that. It was fine when I had it. Tell lie after lie after lie. Well, the prophet Elisha decided it was time to build a new school to house this much needed growth. of these young prophets. And as the young men were cutting out timber for the structure, one man lost his axe head in a river. And what is so perplexing to me, and I want you to hear me out this morning, what is so perplexing to me is the fact that this young man didn't take the initiative to recover the axe head himself. He went, if it were me, hey, I would have done everything I could to try to get and recover this axe head. I don't know how, surely the Jordan River wasn't that deep, and I know how to swim. Maybe the young man didn't know how to swim. Maybe he was afraid of the water. I don't know. There's a lot of questions at stake here, but it seems to me that this young man was more worried about this axe head being borrowed rather than resting on the bottom of the river. What is that saying? What is that saying to us? It's saying that's what happens when you lose your axe head. You become more concerned about what people think rather than repairing the problem on your own. Self-centeredness can blind us from our purpose. That's getting your axe head together. And if you're so concerned about what you think, then you'll never recover from it. You'll never understand your purpose. You'll never truly understand your assignment. You'll never understand the truth and the reality that God has set before you if you're just all worried about yourself. Because see, this is what continuity is about in the process. It is about us coming together and helping one another, getting our acts together. The first spiritual appearance and the significant appearance of this axe head itself, we could say that this axe, the head itself, this axe head, can be seen actually as the Word of God. Think about that. Put your spiritual glasses on and hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to. We could say that this axe head itself, the number one spiritual significance of the axe head itself, it could be seen as the Word of God. It could be on your screen right now. I'm sure I put it up there, Caleb. But if you'll look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." The axe head could represent the Word of God. The second spiritual significance of the axe head is it is seen as authority, right? I don't want to lose my cutting edge. How about you? But it could be seen as authority. And this is something I want you to understand. We do not borrow authority from others. We are given authority from Christ. There is a vast difference between authority and power. I'm talking about authority because, see, there's a lot of people that misuse the power and they misplace the authority. And what God is trying to help us understand is that we need to walk in the authority of God, that He's given us this authority. Amen? This is the strategy of the enemy. The enemy wants you to be working and all of a sudden lose your axe head. In other words, lose or misplace your authority. And how many times, Brother Vernon, you've known this for years, but how many times have we preached and we come to church and we sing the hymns and we do all of the things that we do in worshiping the Lord, not walking in the God-given authority that He has given us. God help us. The strategy is that He wants us to lose our axe head. He wants us to lose our authority. And so we could stand there and say, "Oh no, it's borrowed." Well, it's not borrowed. The thing is this, we have to ask ourselves, are we mishandling our axe heads? Are we mishandling the Word of God? I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says. It'll be on your screen. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So you may be this morning, right now, in an obscure season in your life, right this moment. You may have lost your axe head, but I will tell you this, there is plenty of God's grace and mercy to go around for you to get your acts together. We look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 6, and we move forward, and you find something interesting. The man of God says this, the prophet Elisha says, "Where did it fall? Where fell it?" This young man shows him the place. I find this so incredible because Sister Sandy would always say, "You read your Bible too fast." We read our Bibles too fast. I don't know about you, but I do. And so look what he says. He says he cut down a stick and he cast it in the water and the iron did swim. So what is so significant? What is the spiritual significance of the stick? Or we would say it was a branch. It was a branch hanging from a tree. Because there were plenty of trees by the River of Jordan. There's plenty of material building material. Well, what is the spiritual significance? The spiritual significance, number three, is the stick or the branch, it represents people. I want you to think about this. Because here is Elisha, and he's taking this, breaks it off, because he doesn't have an axe, but he breaks it off, and he takes the stick, and he sticks it in the water. This is amazing. People, like I said, are our greatest investment. We should never underestimate the value of a single person. People are so valuable that Jesus Christ went to the cross for all mankind, died on the cross. But if you look at John chapter 15 and verse 5, you read something interesting. Jesus says this. He says, "I am the vine. You are the people are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." So you have the representation of the man of God who would be Jesus grabbing the people and saying, "We're going to get this done. We're going to get our acts together. And it's going to take a culmination, a collaboration of people getting it done together." Look around this campus. And tell me today what needs to be done. Where do we need to get our acts together? You guys got quiet all of a sudden. My family recently toured a building, and it was heartbreaking. We went to room to every room, and every time I went into another room, it was like it got worse. And it got worse. And it got worse. And my thought that I had on my mind was, how did it get so bad? Where did it start? Listen, I believe what God is saying to us right now, not the church down the road, but this body of Christ, I believe He's saying and challenging us right now. When are you going to let it get so bad that you'll never get it together? Well, this is good. We're talking about getting our acts together. We need one another. Without a vision, the people perish, but without a people, the vision perishes. Look at number four. The spiritual significance of the water. He takes the stick. Now he's putting it in the water. Water represents anybody? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You're correct. If you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." And then in John 4 verse 13, very familiar passage, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life." That is the good news today. That wherever we go wrong, we have the promise that the Comforter, the promise of the Father, is with us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will go with us even to the ends of this era that we're in. Thank God today that we have the Spirit of the Lord. And then when my axe head falls and a man of God gets people together, there's a cohesiveness that takes place. It is the spiritual application. It is a moving of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, where two or three gathered in my name, I am there in the midst with them. That's why you can call upon the name of the Lord and he is there. That's why 120 were in an upper room and they were praying until God would move. And that's what God is calling us to do, is the Spirit of the living God come back and bless our church. Woo! That is so powerful. I want the anointing. How about you? Let's move forward. We see something happening here because we see that the iron is swimming. What is this spiritual significance of iron? Got this iron, this steel, iron. What is it? It represents human strength. The human strength. It could be strength from within. It could be strength, mental strength, emotional strength. It could be simply like Jeremy pumping iron, lifting 350, 400. Could be that strength. Could be endurance, perseverance, faithfulness. But it's the strength of human. Listen, God said, be strong, how? In the Lord and the power of his might. I love this because you see iron. In Proverbs 27 verse 17, you see iron sharpeneth iron. And what does it say? Look what it says. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So iron represents human strength. We need one another. And not only that, we need to begin to sharpen. This axe is not that sharp, Billy. Bratton record. Razor sharp record. Shave. Because my wife says, Lord, you need a shave. She called me gray head the other day. But anyway, that's neither here or there. But the truth about this today, getting our acts together, is that we can't do it on our own. We can't do nothing on our own. We can't do it on our own strength. There's strength in numbers. And it was the Spirit of God that raised the iron axe head. It was the Spirit of God. It was the same power. Think about that. This power, the Spirit of the Lord, this miracle, is the same power that raised this axe head from out of that deep water, is also the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ the third day. Look at Romans 8 and verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Well, how do I apply this to my life? Well, how can I get this message? How can I make this message, getting my acts together? How can I make it count for life? Well, there's this one last thing. I love this. 2 Kings 6 and 7. It'll be on your screen. The man of God said, take it up to thee. And he put it out in his hand. And he took it. You know, he could have just sat there and looked at it and said, man, this is cool. Never seen an axe head float. I think if anybody would have done that, it would have been Caleb. Because Caleb is so analytical and scientific minded. And he's going to take out a clipboard and he's going to write down, how is this possible that this, right? But the man didn't do that. He literally put his hand and he took it. I think the best way is to make pure and true application of this message is to realize, what good is the axe head without the handle? When I was a bachelor living up in north central Arkansas, I had to cut my own trees down just so I could have heat. I split my own wood. I went through axe. I would break axe handles all the time. I got an old chainsaw and I tried to use that and I worked it till I couldn't run it anymore. And I take an axe and I would spend time splitting wood. And some of that wood that I split was very green. I just had to have some form of heat. I had to have it. But I realized when I would break that axe, when I'd break that axe handle, I mean, it's useless. You know how hard it is just to take a hand, just the blade itself, the head itself, and try to cut? The spiritual significance, the last one, number six, of the axe handle, that it represents the vehicle in which the axe is used to chop back the darkness of the world, revealing Satan's lies and his distortions he spreads. So what I'm doing is, once I got my axe together, I'm making use of it. I'm saying, no longer am I going to just stay on the defense and let the devil speak lies to me. But my blade is sharpened just as a two-edged sword. One side of that two-edged sword represents the Old Testament. The other side represents the New Testament. I've got my axe together, rightly dividing the Word of God. And I'm cutting back the darkness that is trying to invade my life. How can God's Word be known unless we share God's Word? How can we say we will cut back the darkness if we don't even have our axe together? Maybe you're here this morning and that axe head is stuck in the bottom of that dirty, nasty Jordan River. And you've left it there for some time. Or maybe you've not told anybody. You know, you're maybe perhaps the only Bible that anybody ever reads. People can debate your words, but they'll never be able to debate the glory of God seen in your life. They may be able to debate everything that you say that you believe in God's Word. And they'll say, well, it says this. Oh, that was old. And they will debate you over it. But they can never debate your true love for God. They can never debate your love, your peace, your joy, the hope. It's good. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. The Greek summarizes the Gentiles. So what are some things in your life then, this morning, right now, that you need to get your acts together? What are some things in your life? Man, I look at my life and I'm saying, man, there's plenty of things that I need to get together. It's amazing when you think, Brother D, it's amazing when you think you have it all together. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much conflict or much friction, much test or trials to come in your life and expose the truth that you really don't have it together. I don't know about you, but I want to get myself together. Do you? Let's stand together in this room. I want to get my acts together. Maybe it's your marriage. I want to get my acts together. Maybe it's your finances. I want to get my acts together. Maybe it's your family. I want to get my acts together. Maybe it's your health. Doctors saying, get off the sugar, get off the sugar, get off the sugar. And I just want to get my acts together. Maybe it's your faithfulness. Maybe it's just a simple devotion. He said the first of the year, I'm going to read. I love Linda. When Mary came to me a while back, she said, Pastor JC, I read the Bible. I read the Bible through last year as well. I make six different versions of the Bible that I have read through in my life. And I read the Bible every day, obviously. And maybe that's it. Maybe you said the first of the year, hey, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. Now, you're still on Genesis chapter 1. Or Matthew chapter 1, however you do it. But you say, you know what? I'm going to get my acts together. I'll read double. I'll get back into shape. I'll make my home happier. I'm going to take care of my finances. I'll take care of my life. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come today, and I want you to just find a place and pray. And we'll have our musicians play some music while you come and pray. And then I'll invite Pastor Paul after you're finished when you come and do it.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.